John DiBella Podcast, 102.9 MGK.
This gentleman will be performing tonight and tomorrow night for two shows at 7:30 and 9:45 at Punchline Philly. You can get tickets through punchlinephilly.com or 215-606-6555. Mo Ammer is here. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Philly. What's going on?
I got to tell you, I mean, last week Vinny Brand was in, and he just raved about you.
Right.
He just said
Vinny
that you
could do that.
He doesn't rave about a lot of comics, but boy, did he rave about you.
I mean, I'm a beast. What do you want me to be? I mean, I could be humble or I could just be real. I mean, you're missing out if you don't come to my shows. Yeah, you're just sleeping.
Now, are you Mo like Larry Curly or are you Mo nickname? Or
it's
how are you?
Mo is actually short for Muhammad. Surprise! Today's the day. It's over for this studio. It's very, very racist to my own kind.
Should have known with the beard.
Muhammad
right
is
away.
The most popular name in the world, though. So it shouldn't be, you know. It's the most popular name in the world.
It's the John of the world.
Honestly, I didn't even know how popular the name was until I watched the Egyptian soccer team.
Uh-huh.
They were showing a play-by-play, and the commentator comes on. He's like, Muhammad has the ball. Muhammad passed the ball to Muhammad. Muhammad to Hamada. Hamada to Hamoudi. Hamoudi to Muhammad. Muhammad to Muhammad. 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 Go. I was like, is there just one guy on the team passing the ball himself? This weed is too strong, man. I'm just freaking out. Muhammad is the most popular name in the world, but I can't find one keychain with my name on it. It's very frustrating. It's infuriating. I'm serious. It was a Disney World. Like, no Mohammed keychain at Disney World. That's pretty racist.
Oh, you know, Disney. Mickey.
Yeah, I know. We do know.
Gun-toting mouse.
Yes.
So you're born in Palestine?
I'm born in Kuwait. My parents are Palestinian.
All right.
My father was a telecommunications engineer there. And then the war happened, and we had to flee Kuwait, and we ended up in Houston, Texas, which is a natural destination.
Yes. For anybody from Kuwait.
You know, this like anybody fleeing war ends up in Houston, apparently.
Hey, oil here, oil there.
Hey. That's how we actually got. We slid on this oil slide. From Kuwait straight to Houston. And they just wash you off with some dishwasher soap like they do.
Like a baby duck.
Like a baby duck. Exactly, exactly. And they're like, oh, look at the beautiful refugee under here. You know? Like, that's fine. I'm going to keep that one. No, but yeah, I went to a nice private British English school in Kuwait. It was like a completely different life and world. And then I ended up in Houston, Texas in ESL class. And I had a hint of a British accent, which is like the worst thing you could have in a public school in Houston. And ESL on top of it. And I walk into class and all the kids are looking at me like, hola, tú eres en huevo aquí? And I was like, sorry, what language are you speaking, right? All of a sudden, this other dude just rolls up out of nowhere. He's like, you're weird, dude. Why do you talk like that, eh? And that was my teacher, you know. Very tough situation. I ended up becoming fluent in Spanish, though, which is great, instead of English.
Mm-hmm.
From an English class, I learned Spanish. This is awesome.
Okay.
Which is cool, though. Just in case anything breaks out, I can camouflage at any moment in time. You know, all this stuff about everything that's happening, immigration, they start hunting Arabs and Muslims.
Like, all right.
Like, hey, boy, you want them Arabs, huh? You want them Muslims, huh? And you'd be like, no, vato, yo regreso a mi país, Mexico. And just get the hell out of there. Jump over that unfinished fence and just get out. I'll start selling falafel tacos in Mexico. You know? You got to have an exit strategy is what I'm saying, guys.
So I mean, how often are you, because when did your special hit Hulu? Or Netflix, right?
Netflix, yeah. Right. Netflix hit, it was in October.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And you've got a show on Hulu.
Yeah, I'm a second lead in a TV show called Rami on Hulu.
All right, what's that all about?
That's about an Arab-American Muslim family, and I play one of the best friends of the lead,
who's
Rami.
Okay.
It's a lot of fun, man. It's a lot of fun being on a TV show and just being able to do that. And also, you know, I'm a stand-up comedian first, and to have the ability just to kind of flex and do something different is also fun. Anything that feeds stand-up comedy. Stand-up comedy is like heroin to me. You know, it's like, this is my biggest addiction in the whole world. Like, this is what I've been doing since I was like 14 years old. So this is all I can think
of. So I'm sorry. I just have a real hard time trying to find the funny in Palestinians.
Did all those funny jokes.
No, I'm not talking about that. It doesn't seem like a place where the funny comes from.
If you notice, like, some of the best comedians in the world have been through some of the worst things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think any suppressed, culture usually comes out with really, really hilarious content. and, you know, Palestinians are notorious for, like, wonderful stories, and it's really an ancient tradition, and for Arabs it's like storytelling.
Uh-huh.
And even like the, now we're gonna get all like
okay,
into history and stuff, but it's important. It's
well,
like,
you did have that Arabian Nights book.
It did, yeah. So 1001 stories. No, it's really fascinating because like before the Quran even existed, they were although the Arabs are like an ancient culture. They did not have a book, you know. It was all like poetry and stories and things like that. So it was always part of our tradition to have like these amazing stories. So it's always been that way. It's always been that way, and it's all I've known since I was a kid. Like, I remember just so many of my uncles and my father, my mother just telling me these amazing stories when I was just like 5-6 years old that I'll never forget. You know, it's always been part of our tradition to do that. You know?
Well, speaking of amazing stories, can you explain to me how a Palestinian stand-up comic meets Eric Trump?
It's the Illuminati, man. See what happens when you get a Netflix deal. You have to meet the higher ups. No, I that was like one of the like a genuinely terrifying things I've had to experience.
Really?
Because I didn't expect it all. Right? Like,
right.
I didn't know I was going to get upgraded into first class from New York to Scotland and then end up sitting next to Eric Trump. Like, that's the last thing I expected to do. And then I took a picture thinking that it was so silly. Like, I sent it to all my comedy. I sent it to Chappelle. I sent it to all my friends, you know, in the comedy world. And I was like, hey, look at this. This is hilarious. Look what happened. And then I wake up in Scotland like, oh, no. I turn on my phone and like every single publication on the planet has emailed me, has found out my number somehow and like messaged me. And then I'm like freaking out. I'm like, this is why I'm going to be famous. Like, this is awful. And I didn't know I was going to get upgraded and sit next to him. You know, I really had no idea. I just flew in from Australia across the whole planet
to
go to Scotland, and I'm exhausted. And I should have known. I should have known, because I knew that there was something fishy when I first got upgraded. Like, the lady who upgraded me was probably a Clinton supporter. You know what I mean? like, she was sitting there like, oh, Eric Trump is on my flight. Okay. Oh, there's an empty seat next to Eric. All right. Let me take a look at this upgrade list, see who's standing by patiently. Oh, Mohammed Mustafa Ammer. Upgrade! I should have known, though. For real, I should have known, because when I rolled up to, you know, when I came to board, the thing went off, and she goes, guess who's been upgraded? I was like, you have an air horn? Jesus, this is too much. It was wild. And I turned a corner in the plane, and I see this lady who's sitting behind us, behind where I'm sitting in row 4. I look over, and she's just flicking off the seat in front of me. Like, she's wailing. She's like doing one of these. She's just really flipping. I was like, why is she upset? I've never seen anybody so upset in first class. Like, especially like this white lady, like, living the life. Like, why is she so furious? She must have been mad at her husband across the way. And then I look over, and I was like, oh my God. Is that Eric Trump? I was like, nah, man, it can't be. So I put up my bag and took a second look, and I saw his name on his sweater. And I was like, it's got to be Eric Trump. Like, who the hell wears their name on their sweater? Like, that's what you do for, like, the slow kid in your family when you're at a theme park. So if they get lost, they know he remembers his name. Like, it was really freaky. I just sat down next to him, and I was like, Salam Aleikum, Eric, like that. It was so funny to see him jump back. And apparently Secret Service doesn't fly first class. So it's really funny. Nor do terrorists, apparently.
Mo Ammer is appearing tonight and tomorrow night for two shows at 7:30 and 9:45. You get tickets through punchlinephilly.com or 215-606-6555. Thank you so much.
Thank you
for coming
so much
this morning. This was great. It is a pleasure to meet you, and Vinny Brand was right.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.